broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And it's great to be with you this evening. With me is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard as well. They'll be with me in our news and information hour. And in our next couple of hours, we'll interview some newsmakers as well as news contributors and talk about things that are happening in the world. A reminder, our website is the strong right arm and the strong other appendage of the world-famous... Don't give me that look, okay, Bud?
It's good!
Of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Take a look at our live streaming video of the show. You can also access archives that go back 15, 16, 20. We make up a different year. Actually, no, seriously, 14 years or so. Does that sound good?
About right, yeah.
And of course, we have our merchandise shop. So head on over there and pick up something for Christmas for the Phil Hendry fan and your family, or maybe for yourself. The Bobby Dooley blog is now the Daily Bobby. That's a daily blog. You got to look at that. And, of course, Ted Bell. You have to read his latest blog, My Occupy L.A. Arrest by Me, Ted Bell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Rick Perry has a lot of people scratching their heads, scratching other parts of their body with the latest ad that he has come out with, one that is characterized as, quote, anti-gay. Some of the comments that he made the day before yesterday concerning gay rights being inconsistent with American and Christian values, a comment that had something to do with why are we, why are gays and lesbians serving openly in the military when we don't have prayer in school and so forth. And some of this is seen as, by some, very outrageous. By others, perhaps the right move. Is it a campaign strategy? Is it something that he's doing consciously? Is it how he really believes? We're going to talk to Gary Parton from RI News Service in a moment. It should be noted that there is, according to the New York Times today, a split in the Perry staff as to the advisability of these ads. Texas Governor Rick Perry's staff and his hard turn to the right of the past 2 days on gay issues has created a split in Mr. Perry's top campaign aides. In that campaign ad, as I mentioned, released on Wednesday, Mr. Perry says you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know it's wrong that gay men and lesbians openly serve in the military at a time when there's no organized prayer in public schools. Gary Parton joining us from RI News Service. And Gary, you've been following the Perry campaign for RI. What do you think?
Well, I think it is exactly as you said, Phil. I think it is a strategy. I don't know if it is something that Governor Perry himself embraces, but I think it is a strategy. It's hard to imagine that he does not embrace it. Governor Perry is known for his, shoot from the hip, straight commentary. I think that he is much more noted, of course, for his conservative stand on economic issues. But this is a social issue, and it's one that I don't think is too far afield of many conservatives, and that is gay rights. And Governor Perry has, I think, rolled the dice. I think he's saying, I'm going to reach out to the far right, and I'm going to bring them into the Rick Perry fold, and I'm going to try to push us over the top that way. Because he has seen, Phil, as you know, and as your listeners do, he's seen his support slipping away. And it's been bleeding away to Newt Gingrich, to Romney, and so forth. So Rick Perry, who was the darling of the conservative movement, and certainly looked to be the coming star on the Republican scene, Rick Perry tonight, Phil, is desperate, and it's a desperate move.
Okay, so you call it a desperate move, and you said something that's very key here. Does he believe this? Is this really Rick Perry's feelings? And it's one would have to say it's guy. You know, how could anybody be that cynical that they embrace a point of view that they really don't believe in, but they use it as a way of wedging themselves with a certain part of the party?
Well, but let's remember again our history. We know that George Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama, the segregationist governor of Alabama, Phil, it was Governor Wallace who said, well, if segregation is going to get me elected governor of Alabama, then I'll be a segregationist. Up to that point, Governor Wallace was not particularly, would be identified, I guess, with the Dixiecrats and the segregationists. He was a far more middle-of-the-road candidate. But when he saw that embracing the segregationists to the far right was going to get him that vote, the Dixiecrat vote, was going to get him that vote and push him over the top there in Alabama, then it was a fait accompli, and it was a no-brainer, if you will.
So what is your feeling?
It's very difficult for me to say. I have been disciplined by RI News, and I know I talked to you about this earlier, Phil.
Yeah, now, you had a run-in with the people, your editorial staff. You had a run-in with them as to your objectivity.
That is correct.
Tell me about that, and what does it have to do with this story?
Well, the long and the short of it is I talked to Bob Trundle, who is my editor, and he is located in Washington, and he said to me that your objectivity here is in question, and I said to him basically that I am very objective. I said, but people are going to have to accept what I say on this one because it has pushed me over the edge, and I am no longer able to be objective. I am no longer able to do my job as an objective reporter, so I told Bob the only thing I can do is then use my wits as a reporter and commentator and tell people what the truth is. And the truth is that Perry is a bigot, and and I'm reporting that as objectively as I can. And
now, you were disciplined by your editorial people to remain objective on this story, and you told them that you can't?
That is correct, yeah.
You told this to Mr. Trundle?
I told Bob Trundle I cannot be objective on this story, and I said, what is more, I'm not going to be objective on this story, and I don't feel I need to be so-called objective on the story. I said, if you will, I am being objective when I say that Rick Perry is an out-and-out bigot. He is by way of Texas. I said he's not a Mississippi bigot. He's a more wide-open bigot, but he's a bigot nonetheless. And I said that that's not an opinion. That's fact. And
okay, now that right there, I imagine, got you into conflict with him.
Well, absolutely, because in the mind of Bob Trundle and some very traditional reporters, he'll say to me, that's your opinion. I said, no, it is not my opinion. That is fact. And so I said, if you will, I am now pushing objectivity to a new level. The fact is, Rick Perry is utilizing this. He believes that by attacking gays, he'll win the middle American vote, winning the middle American vote by way of the far right and the Republican Party. The problem is, Mr. Perry, with this move, has made it more difficult for me and other reporters to cover his campaign objectively, since it makes it difficult to cover an individual who is a bigot and an odious individual.
So it sounds to me like you are beginning to form opinions personally, okay?
No, these are not personal. See, this is the thing I think, Phil, that is interesting, and you've known me a long, long time. It really isn't a personal opinion. It is, in point of fact, it's the fact. Rick Perry is an odious bigot who should not even be governor of Texas, let alone running for president. Now, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a liberal Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I'm not. I'm a reporter, and I'm an objective reporter.
But with an opinion, like, even though I know what you're saying, even with an opinion, I know you're saying that by calling Rick Perry a bigot and an odious person, that's objective.
It's most certainly objective. It's very objective. He's come out against gay rights, and objectively, you can say he is a bigot. He's crawling around in the filth.
Crawling around in the filth. Everybody's going to hear that as opinion.
I understand that, and it is my job to educate as many people as I can ahead of this election and tell them that this is not opinion, this is fact.
But when you say that a candidate is a bigot and is crawling around in the filth, everybody's going to hear that as an opinion.
I understand that, but what I need is help from, not only do I need a good pen and a good broadcasting voice, Phil, and I need a good editorial writing, which I hope and pray that I have, but I also need help from other professionals. I need help from you. I need help from other professionals in the news gathering, the talk radio hosts, so that you can say to your listeners and to others that may not understand the standards of journalism, this is really what it is that Gary is saying. Gary Parton is saying objectively, Rick Perry is crawling around in the filth as a bigot. And that's an objective opinion.
Well, you want me to back you up on that, and before I can back you up on that, I have to understand better what you're saying, because to me, that sounds like an opinion. You know, how can you say...
It's not an opinion. It is absolute fact. Governor Perry, since being against...
No, I understand. I understand. But I'm always going to feel, unless you can convince me otherwise, that that is Gary giving his opinion of Governor Perry.
You think that an individual who is opposed to gay rights is anything other than a tobacco-spitting bigot? And I'm being as kind as I can be.
A person who's opposed to gay rights, I consider a bigot. I don't know about the tobacco-spitting.
All right. So, objectively, you can say, well, that's a bigot. There has to be an objective definition of a bigot. You can't just say that an individual is a bigot. Aha, that person who said that, that's his opinion. You understand what I'm saying? So what Gary Parton is trying to do here, Phil, is tell you and tell your listeners there is an objective standard so that I can say without question that Rick Perry wallows in and plays with filth and human waste as a bigot.
And but see, that is just so extreme, you know.
Which is extreme.
Wallows in and plays with human waste. That's a hateful thing to say.
It is objectively accurate, though. It is objectively...
No, it's not even objectively accurate. I mean, he's not literally doing that.
He's not literally doing that. He's doing that from a political point of view.
All right, so I got to take a break here. Gary Parton is with us, but the bottom line here is, Gary, is you've told your editors that you said to your editors that Rick Perry makes it impossible for you to be objective, that you're now going to have to put opinion into it.
That is what I told them, yes. I told Bob that yesterday. When I emailed Bob again last night and this morning, I said I believe I've struck a compromise. I believe that my so-called opinions are not opinions at all. They are objective fact.
And what has he said?
I have not heard back from him yet. But I can tell you, with your help, and I'm asking you to back me up on this, Phil, and other broadcasters, we can get this across to the American people. This is an objective opinion. Rick Perry is against gay rights. He is therefore a bigot, and he therefore plays with his own waste. And by doing that...
But, see, okay, I mean, I don't know, you know...
What I'm asking for is for you to give me a two-week endorsement on my broadcasting skill and my coverage of Rick Perry.
I got to ask you some more questions. And before I do that, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to give my phone number out here, and I'm going to ask folks to call in if they'd like to comment on what you've just heard Gary Parton say, that Rick Perry's comments about gay rights, it's made it impossible for Gary to be objective now. Impossible, he said, to be an objective reporter when a man is so openly bigoted and so openly degenerate. But he feels that maybe that is the objective point of view, and maybe it isn't an opinion. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL. Is Rick Perry now a degenerate? And is Parton, Chris Parton, being objective when he says that? Or Gary Parton? We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Gary Parton, RI News, Washington.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, as we have on the line Gary Parton from RI News in Washington. And Gary has been covering the Rick Perry campaign, as well as I believe early on, Gary, you were with the Newt Gingrich campaign, and they just assigned you full time to Rick Perry.
I've done an awful lot of work and a lot of back research on Rick Perry, and I covered his governorship in Texas for a very brief period of time. And I think they felt that I was qualified, and I am. I know that Bob and I are having these differences of opinion right now.
Well, let me bring the audience up to a little bit of speed here. If you just joined us, folks, as you may or may not know, Governor Perry has made some what some people consider to be anti-gay, or you know, he's come out and said that gay rights should take a backseat to a couple of other things these days, and maybe we are a little hasty with this gay issue when it comes to other things like prayer in school and so on and so forth. So, and these comments and the campaign ad, which is also a television ad, in which the governor says, quote, you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know it's wrong that gay men and lesbians openly serve in the military at a time when there's no organized prayer in public schools. That's really what split his staff, isn't it, Gary?
You're absolutely right, Phil. When that television ad aired, and when it was first cleared at the campaign level, at the higher levels of the Perry campaign, it did cause a great deal of concern. But I, as a reporter, reported back to my people. I said, now Perry has made it impossible for me to be objective, and that's been my job, to be an objective reporter. But when a man like Governor Perry makes a statement like this, and so obviously becomes such an odious and repulsive thing, then that has to be the standard.
But when you say odious and repulsive thing, people are going to say that's your opinion.
And I am telling you, no, it is not my opinion. What I'm asking you to do as a broadcaster, Phil, is to not ask as many questions and begin to back me up on this, because you know that objectively, looking at Rick Perry being opposed to gay rights, he's now he's less a man and more thing. And I don't think that is descriptive.
That's, people would call that very pejorative, extremely insulting, extremely subjective, and extremely, very much opinion.
Do you believe that?
I most certainly do. I don't think that a man, I believe that...
So in other words, an open bigot, an open racist, if you will, still maintains membership in the human race. And
I think that we all, whether we like it or not, and whether you like it or not, whether the individual himself likes it or not, have to answer for our actions as human beings, because that's what we are.
Well, I'm hopeful, Phil, that you'll change your tune a little bit, because I need all the support I can get among broadcasters, and when my editors hear people like you questioning me, it makes my life a lot more difficult.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and let's go to a phone call on the line right now. I forget who this is. Is this John? Who is the call? Oh, Eugene. I'm sorry. Eugene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gary Parton.
Yes, I have to say that I'm not a Perry supporter, but we have if we have to broaden this up a little bit, you're making a personal opinion and trying to make it a fact. And
when
I think we need to open this up a little bit and say, how many special rights do we give people? I mean, do we give special rights to the police on murder? I mean, compared to somebody else getting murdered? Okay, and now we have...
I don't understand what you mean by that. I mean, if you murder a police officer, why, you go to jail. If you murder a regular human being, you go to jail. I don't know what the difference is there.
That's not a true statement.
And
because it's not true...
How many people have gotten the death penalty? How many people have gotten the death penalty killing police officers as opposed to killing regular civilians? I can tell you, I'm a reporter, I know the answer to that question because I'm a reporter. Hardly anyone, when you kill a cop, goes to the death chamber, but there are plenty of people who go to death house.
They're going to do more time.
If they kill, there was the story of a man that we used to call them midgets, and we don't call them that anymore. It was a little man who got killed. They gave the man who did that, like within 3 weeks, they had put him down, like a dog. And the cop killer is still on death row.
What did you say?
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean by a dwarf? A guy killed a dwarf.
We have
a dwarf?
Special rights.
Are you saying a dwarf
killing?
Has special rights? What are you saying, sir? Well, what I'm saying is Rick Perry is now objectively, between you and me, because we're both men, he's an a-hole. Now, that's objective. That's not subjective.
That's opinion. There
no,
may
sir.
Be somebody who follow him that believe that he's not an a-hole.
Oh,
but on the other hand, I'm not a supporter of Perry. But
do I have to bring the Hitler?
Opinion.
Do I have to bring the Hitler comparison into it?
You're looking for supporters to keep your job, and that's
right.
Exactly
you're
doing.
Well, do I have to bring the Hitler comparison into this, Phil? If you know.
Well, no, come on.
I don't want to. You're right. You're right. I don't want to. But weren't there people that supported Hitler? And isn't he objectively a piece of the trash? Of course.
That's a ridiculous comparison.
But
right now we're having...
You're saying... You're saying that Rick Perry
does
not have a right to voice his opinion, that he has to fall in line with what the rest of society says he has to do.
No.
That's what you're trying to make him say.
I did not.
You're going to call him some names.
No, wrong. I'm saying if he really believes... No, because I did say I don't know if Rick Perry... I didn't know if Rick Perry really believes this or is it a campaign strategy. If he really...
If he really believes it, what do you think?
If he really believes it, then I think he's more ape than he is human. And you have
It's easy with the vocabulary to go to... To lack of a better term, slander a person because you disagree with their opinion.
You know full well that Jay.
All right, we got to take a break. Phil Henry
Phil
Show.
Henry.
877-876 Phil on Rick Perry, and we'll be back with Gary Parton.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Gary Parton with RI News on the line with us. A little bit of a controversy in at his bureau in Washington following the campaign ad from Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, who said that in this campaign ad, he said that, having gay people in the military in the United States serving openly when there isn't any prayer in school... is a little ridiculous, I believe, or words to that effect. He also intimated that it was against American and Christian values. And so this is a pretty far-right point of view. And Gary Parton on the line with us. And Mr. Parton said that made it impossible for you to be objective. Now, you were also saying something about Herman Cain.
I was, Phil. Herman Cain is no different. When Herman Cain was running... Herman Cain was a fairly easy candidate to cover. He was outspoken. He was a little bit of a lightning rod. We found it refreshing. We enjoyed covering Herman Cain for a lot of reasons. He was a very a man with great candor and a man who I think also spoke well and had a good relationship with the press. It became very disappointing to see Herman Cain suddenly turn tail and hide when word that he had an affair or a relationship with a number of women came out. And my objective view then was that Herman Cain was a scared little man hiding from the whites because he was afraid they would find him with their white women. And now...
Now, see, you don't find that to be an opinion at all.
No, that is objective.
That is objective.
I find it interesting that you don't find that to be an objective point of view. It's been how many weeks now since the Herman Cain episode? Of course that's objective. Herman Cain dropped out of the race... And this is why. I'm not telling you this is my opinion. This is absolutely why. Herman Cain dropped out of the race because he was afraid the white man would discover him with his white woman. Now,
oh, God, man, and you don't call that a personal opinion. Some people might even call that a bigoted opinion.
That's not a bigoted opinion. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How is that a bigoted opinion? That's, if anything, I'm defending Herman Cain. As a man who is a powerful man, is going to attract women, and yes, some of them are white, and that's going to be the situation. Now, the fact that he's no longer running for president...
Well, I mean, but the way you put that is that, oh, well, Herman Cain has dropped out of the race because he's frightened the white man will discover him with his white woman.
That is not just an opinion. See, you're making a big mistake, Phil. That is objective fact. That is as objective as the man who stood there on that field in 1937 and watched the Hindenburg burn up. As he stood there watching it and reporting it to us, I'm reporting exactly the same way, no different. If I'm giving opinion, then that man gave opinion the day the Hindenburg blew up.
Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Henry. Enjoy your show.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
It always fascinates me, you know, that here in America, you know, that the word opinion or being objective has replaced the word choice in the First Amendment. You know, we as Americans need to be responsible for ourselves, and I try not to put my nose in anybody else's business. That way, I don't spend a lot of time letting other people rent free space in my head. You know, and
so this is Gary Parton. This is Gary Parton, the guest. Did you have a comment for me? Because I'm Mr. Henry's guest this morning. Yeah.
Yes, sir. What is the definition of the
word?
The
point is that I should be the focus of...
What is the definition of the word opinion?
What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? I'm telling you.
I'm just asking you.
I'm an objective. Well, I'll give you. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what it is. When the Hindenburg blew up, I don't know if you've ever heard the recording, and we could say it about anything. A man stood there and described the Hindenburg burning up. That's objective when you stand and describe something burning up. I am objective that way when I say that Rick Perry has morphed into some kind of vegetable matter, non-human matter, when he is bigoted against gay people.
Now, and I say that that is an insult.
An objective point. What's that, sir?
A fine line.
It may be a fine line, but nonetheless, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Forgive me.
But what do you mean, Mark, the First Amendment? What do you mean? What are you talking about? I think you're losing us. You're losing us with this choice thing, man. I think you're going to have to speak our language a little bit here, because
Gary,
it's late. You may need sleep. I don't know. But what I'm telling you is,
I think you had a
I don't know what the man's saying.
So. All right, look. I tell you what, Mark. Thanks for your call. Go get yourself some sleep, man. So what was your?
What I'm telling you is this, I don't think it's that difficult for anybody to get, Phil. I've been a reporter for a long time. When I tell you that Herman Cain has dropped out of the race
because he's afraid that the white man found him with a white woman, that sounds like a negative opinion about Herman Cain.
It most certainly is a negative opinion about Herman Cain, but not in the way that you think it is. I'm not saying that he is an inferior person. I'm saying that he showed some old-school fear by dropping out of the race. And that's just fact. Fact. Herman Cain lost his guts. Fact. Rick Perry has lost his humanity. These are objective points of view that I will put into editorial pieces, and I will put my name to them, and I will swear to them before God and man. Now, if you find that odious...
No, I don't find it odious, but we definitely have run up against something, and that is maybe the average person that is listening to the show tonight doesn't know what objective means. I don't blame them, because reporting has more and more gone away from objective reporting. Nowadays, we have this kind of opinion,
maybe you're not hearing me. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm not giving an opinion, Phil. I am giving an objective.
I think you're giving an opinion. I think a lot of people listening believe you're giving an opinion when you say that Herman Cain has lost his guts because he's afraid of the white man, and when you say that Rick Perry is now more vegetable matter than he is human because he's a bigot and he doesn't support gay people. Now, to you, that's objective reporting.
It most certainly is objective reporting, and how do I know that? Because who has more experience as a reporter, you or me? Me or you? Who has more experience as a reporter?
You.
Then you would have to go with my opinion. You would have to go with my opinion.
Then why do you need me to back you up?
I need the voices of broadcasters to back me up with the broadcast industry so that there is some credibility to what Gary Parton is saying. I'm not saying that I want you to stand there and tell them, as a reporter, I, Phil Hendry, because you're not a reporter, and I don't need you to do that. I'll do all the talking. But what I do need for you to do is to just lend your name to the ad that we're going to be taking out in one of the major trades. I don't know which one yet. I don't want it to be some Twitter account, that's for sure. And I'm going to say I am Gary Payton, and I'm objective. I am objective. When I say this, I'm objective. I am objective. And I reject anyone that says I'm not. And
you don't want me to say anything. You don't want other broadcasters.
I'd rather you not and a few others not say anything, because I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm not saying that you're not a good man, Phil, and I'm not saying you don't know your business, but you don't know my business. And I really don't want you weighing in, because you just don't know what you're talking about. And
you know, and that's an objective opinion, huh?
Well, look, Phil, I'm not trying to insult you.
Well, that's how it feels when you say, objectively, Phil Hendry doesn't know what he's talking about. Herman Cain's afraid of white men, and...
No, I didn't say he's afraid of white men. I said he didn't want to be caught with white women. And that's what I call no guts. And as far as Rick Perry goes, Rick Perry, by his statements, is now more, as I said, more ape, if you want, than more primate, but also some. That's the humanity of the man.
Yeah, I get the notion here. We're going to take a break and get to some more phone calls here on the Phil Henry Show with Gary Parton. Gary called himself Gary Payton, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's a golfer.
All right, we'll get back to Gary Parton here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is it an objective statement to say that Rick Perry is now a bigot? Is it an objective statement to say that Herman Cain is afraid of white men? Is it objective to say that Phil Henry doesn't know what he's talking about when I say that that's slander and opinion? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Gary Parton, a reporter for RI News, and Gary has been following the Rick Perry, the Rick Perry campaign, and he is also, for a very short time, was also on the Newt Gingrich campaign as well. But in talking about Governor Perry, his ad that seems to oppose gay rights, played so poorly with you, Gary, that you now have told your editors you cannot be objective. And
well, I said that I could not be objective, and I said, in point of fact, my objectivity now is going to be very troubling for a lot of the bigwigs in the news media and some of the bigwigs at Fox News. I think you have to understand that you don't get anywhere in this country unless you are satisfactory to Rupert Murdoch. You don't get anywhere. You don't move anywhere. You don't. I cannot hope for any kind of a job making any real money unless I am satisfactory to Rupert Murdoch. But my objective view of Rick Perry is that he is an ape-like bigot, and that means that Rupert Murdoch, even though I'm a great reporter, and I am a damn good reporter, but I will never make a lot of money because Rupert Murdoch is going to want me to pay tribute to him, and I, the tribute that he wants is for me to say that Rick Perry is, you know, is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I'm not going
to
do that.
Oh, come on. That's a pretty absurd thing to say.
No, it most certainly. Again, who's the one with the experience as a reporter?
You're telling me, though, that Rupert Murdoch wants you to openly canonize Rick Perry.
That is what Rupert Murdoch and Fox News wants me to do for them to get my services. Fox News is never going to get Gary Parton working for them because I won't work for them because I'm not going to do what Rupert Murdoch wants me to do. Rupert Murdoch is to a reporter what Jerry Sandusky is to little boys. There I said.
You know what, Gary, can I tell you something? Gary.
What?
You know, I am offended by you using the tragedy of the crimes that that man's accused of and applying that to yourself.
I am not applying it. I'm saying I'm using it as an allegory. Okay? I'm saying Rupert Murdoch is to me what Jerry Sandusky is.
I heard you the first time, and I find that to be a comment that you don't need to make. It has no place in this conversation.
Well, I'm a reporter. Don't talk down to me. And I'm saying that objectively to you. Objectively, you are acting like an ass. And
all right, objectively, you're acting like an ass.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And I'm going to get some phone calls in here before we get too further along. Here is Chuck. Chuck, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Gary Parton. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, Phil. I really like your show.
Yes,
I listen to you every
Thank
night.
You.
And
Thank
it's
you.
Really great. I just got two opinions here. I want to pass it on to you, and y'all can chat about it. I think, Gary, I think you're kind of jealous that I believe that you're gay, and I think you can't find a black woman to sleep with.
I think you're gay. And you can't find a black, man to sleep with. You need a black man to sleep with.
All right, let's quit being children.
Yeah, he's hanging up because he's... You remind me of Herman Cain sleeping with a black man and running off, except he slept with... Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. 877-876-PHIL. Here is... Our next caller here is Chris. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Chris. Sorry. Yeah. Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I just had a couple opinions. The Herman Cain issue, I think, is more.
That last guy really made me angry. I just want to say the fact that he thought I was gay.
All right. We'll talk about that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah,
I apologize.
I'm not going to call any names or anything. But with Herman Cain,
the last guy,
the offensive thing was the affair. This, as far as the color of the women, didn't matter. You think it does, but it doesn't. It's gone. We don't care about interracial relationships anymore, but he did have an affair, which is the main point, and that's probably why he ran. Another thing with the Rick Perry is you said that if he does believe in the message, which you don't know, that he's a bigot. So you're saying seeing the fact that he's a bigot, but yet you don't
Absolutely.
Know if he even believes in the
he's
message.
Like.
So
I don't
it's not
know.
A fact that
I don't
you don't
know.
Even know
I'm assuming.
If he believes in the
message. Well, let me put it this way. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm saying I believe that Governor Perry is a man of his word, and to that point, he is a bigot. He does believe this, and is a bigot, and more so, not just a bigot, but he's lost some of his humanity in the process. That's
well,
what I'm
you just and, you can't state facts on opinion
that's objective.
Until you
that's
know if he believes in the message for sure. Do you know?
That's a good point. That's a good
sure?
point. That Chris is making a good point. How do you know?
No, Chris is not making it. With all due respect to Chris, he's not making a good point at all.
Well, yes, he is. He's saying unless we know what Rick Perry believes, you said you don't know whether Governor Perry actually believes that, or is it a campaign strategy?
Well, even if it were, let's take it the other way. It's a campaign strategy. Let's say it's a campaign strategy. All right, Chris. Then I would say that Governor Perry is lower than whale. You know what? For utilizing a campaign strategy to undermine the rights of a human being, I think that's worse. I think that would make him worse than Ape Man. I think he'd now be nothing more than whale. You know what?
You know something? People have been calling up and saying, all you're doing here tonight is calling names.
No, I am not.
That's all you have been doing. You're talking about a guy being an ape, vegetable matter. You're talking about another guy being frightened and running because he was sleeping with white women.
Well, to the idea of, here's what I was saying about that. I mean, look, we all know it may be some kind of a reactive thing that if a black man is caught with a white woman, he's going to hightail it out the window, run across the road and hide in the grove.
Well, that's your opinion, and like that's more.
That's my, wait
a minute.
See, there you go again. That's my opinion. That's
well, it is, Bud. Whether you like to admit
what
or
is
not,
fact about that, man? What is fact about that? And by the way, that was racist.
What was?
He's going to crawl out the window, hightail it across the road, and hide in the grove.
Well.
Anyway, thank you very much, Chris, for your call.
All right,
877-877. Thank you, sir. I find that to be a bigoted point of view because that not only that, that's one of those stereotypically bigoted points of view where you're using a ridiculous notion of I don't know what, man. It's almost something out of Slave Times.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Phil, as a reporter, I've been on the beat a long time, and the Slave Times are—we're not too far. Listen, if you don't think we're not that far removed from Slave Times, you don't talk to me about it. Talk to Mr. Chuck D, who I follow on Twitter, and he follows me. Thank you. And Mr. Chuck D was in a group called Public Enemy, one of the great hip hop groups of all time, a seminal hip hop group. They were a political and social commentary, artistic troupe, and they made a great many wonderful records.
I know them very well. They're terrific.
Well, no, you don't know them very well. When you say you know them very well, you mean their music.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that Chuck D follows me on Twitter. And
all right, good. I mean, Chuck D follows. See, have you talked to him about this?
No, I would not presume to bother him. I'm not going to bother Chuck D with something like this.
You know what you ought to? You ought to ask him if Chuck D follows you on Twitter. You should ask him about the Europe. You should tell him your objective view of why Herman Cain dropped out of the race. Okay?
I wouldn't presume to intrude on his time.
Well, if I were you, I would, because you're calling that objective.
Well, you almost said because my opinion. See, don't do that, Phil. And
all right, it's your objective view. Tell him my objective view as a reporter is.
Why? I'm not going to intrude on Chuck D's time. And
why not?
Because he'll ask me, what are you? saying to me, I'm in the middle of talking about when Jay-Z was born and Vibe magazine and this kind of thing, and I come in and go, hi, Chuck D. Herman Cain ran from the white man because they caught him with a white woman and he hid in an orange grove. Thank you. I'm Gary Parton. That's what you want me to do?
Yes. Oh, God, I'd love you to do that. Yes. What, are you afraid?
Well, you just said something now, Phil, that if you were standing in front of me, I'd slap you. And
yeah, you're afraid, aren't you? You're scared. Scared, Mr. Reporter. Mr. Objective Reporter.
If you were standing in front of me, I'd slap you.
Well, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. And that just tells me you're angry and emotional over what I just said. You know that if you said that to Chuck D, he'd probably, if he was standing in front of you, he'd slap you. And you'd probably cry.
Oh, boy. No, you'd cry if I slapped you. I know that. And
if you slapped me, I would cry, but then I'd turn around and I'd probably slap you back.
Well, then we'd be a couple little bitches slapping each other. Is that what you want? Just ow, 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 ow. You want that, don't you?
No, I don't want that. You're the guy that would start... Oh, forget it. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be talking in the next hour about Japanese whaling and whether or not they have the right. Sea Shepherd is who they're suing. Dig this. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Ow, ow, ow. I'm going to slap you.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we go beyond the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't, and they don't, so they wouldn't, and they shouldn't. And that's where that am at. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com, the strong-eyed arm of the Phil Henry Show. Go over to our website. Get a backstage pass
and watch the screen and watch the video.
Oh yeah, watch our live streaming video, listen to our archives, listen to our daily podcasts, and become a member of the only real radio station that you should, the radio show you should subscribe to, the Phil Henry Show. I mean, all of the other ones. I got an email from a former friend of mine that decided he was going to go into talk radio,
Yeah.
And he went into talk radio. He got himself a show, and he was a conservative. And I went on his website last night. I think he's no longer going to have the show. He's going to go back to doing what he does, which is basically produce movies, which he does a really good job doing that. But this talk show he had, anyway, I went on the, and it's just Obama bash, Obama bash, Obama bash. And of course, there was a time when you thought, well, there must be a never-ending, unending, need for that kind of thing, because every jackass with a show does that. Well, apparently there isn't, because this cat, he's done for. Well, we don't do that here. On our show, we try to bring to you different points of view. Last hour, a good example there. Gary Parton, a longtime respected reporter. And here's this guy saying that Rick Perry now objectively has ceased being human. He's more vegetable matter. Now, where are you going to hear that?
Yeah, maybe they go into a nut asylum or something, and they hear...
Shut up. So anyway, join our website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. And the BSP that called me during the break, I heard what you said, sir. I'd like to do that, but not tonight. All right. We did have lined up General Galen Shaw on Japanese whaling, but Robert Green has, my understanding is, Bob suggests a little bit of airtime. Robert Green is a sponsor of ours. Fraser Foods has been sponsoring this radio broadcast since 1999. And we're very happy to have Bob Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park on the subject of the recession, on the subject of the people who are out of work. We don't hear about homeless people. It's funny, Bob, I was watching a movie today, My Man Godfrey from the 30s. You know it?
Oh, yeah, I know that film very well, Phil, with William Powell. It's a commentary on the... it's a wonderful commentary, I think, Phil, on the depression of the 30s.
It was a very interesting movie, and I know that as a grocery CEO, as a man who has been doing business directly with the public for a great many years, you see how people suffer
every day. And every day we attempt to be as good a neighbor as we can to our customers and to the people that have supported us all these years, Phil. And I know their names, I know their faces, I know the names of their families. I know the names of their kids. And whatever we can do as a as an organization, as a member of this neighborhood, as a national organization, as a national grocery chain, we do what we can. And that's why our operation, Kid Stop, went into effect last week. And I'm doing it for my son because I felt bad for what happened, Phil. And I told you and I told a few people, I felt very bad for what happened. And so we're doing this. And we're going to try and make it up to all the families and all the kids out there.
Well, Bob, you know, look, people get angry. And what Robert Greene's talking about here, folks, and Bob, I'll let you go into more detail, is you struck your son in anger after he made a comment about poor people, right?
Well, what happened was, Phil, and I guess we're getting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit.
Go ahead and tell it, then we'll fill in the blanks.
I was home. The kids are with me. Their mother has been very, very sick. And I was cooking dinner that night. I had come back from the office. I was literally standing there in my dress shirt and my tie with my sleeves rolled up, trying to get some dinner together for the kids. I was cooking some soup, or I was going to cook some soup, and got the pot out. I said to the kids, I was going through the store today, and I saw the amounts of dog food that we sell. I said, we had an enormous amount of dog food and cat food. I said, that takes up space in our store at a time when we ought to be doing what we can to feed people. And my son said, why don't you feed the poor people dog food? And that's when instinctively I had this soup pot. And I just, I hit him across the face with it.
That's anger.
It's a lot of anger. And I told him I was sorry. And we shook hands, and it had been a big misunderstanding. But I felt bad about it, and since that time, I...
You hit him with the soup pot. Was he hurt?
Well, you know, he's okay. He's fine. I think sometimes we make a bigger deal out of these things than we should. I said I was sorry, and I am sorry. He's a big boy. It was the wrong way to discipline my son. But understand, I was angry because he had made a comment about poor people eating dog food, and I thought that that was an insult. I will tell you one other thing that we've done, and I told my son, I said, his name is Richard, I said, Richard, I have taken your advice. We're going to get rid of all of the pet food and dog food. The other thing that, even more to the point, Phil, that we're getting rid of are a lot of these pet toys and other accessories for pets. We are right now in the middle of a terribly desperate economic situation in this country. There are families that are not eating. There are people without work. Americans have lost their hope in many ways. And I'll be a son of a gun, Phil, if I'm going to have those people come into my store, people that are hungry and people that are cold, and see me selling cat sweaters or these dog chew toys or dog food or these cat condos, these ridiculous things that you've seen. And
now, these cat condos, just so people know, it's a little multi-level thing that cats climb up and...
Well, no, you shouldn't minimize it. I think it's a very sophisticated and, I will say, luxurious way for a cat to live. And the other things we have, these dog sweaters and... I think it's an insult to human beings at a time like this to carry things like that. I had a couple of my guys bring two or three of the dumpsters around the front of the store, and I dumped all of this into the dumpster and left it there because I knew there'd be a lot of people coming into the store the next day and would see exactly what we had thrown into that dumpster.
Now, you threw all of this stuff into the dumpster to make a statement, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
What was that?
Well, the statement was to say to the...
Because you have a lot of people that come into your store that are animal owners. Do you have pets?
No, we don't have pets. We don't... I wouldn't waste my... I think that pets are a wonderful, wonderful addition to a home if you've reached a point in your life where you just don't... I guess you don't want to deal with human beings, but I've got children and I have friends, and we are... in the world, and I'm not going to, I don't have the time for a dog, if that's what you mean, but I'll tell you this. We had people come into the store. They're big pet lovers. They're always asking about, do you have this kind of pet food? Do you have that? They buy the hats. They buy the sunglasses and the pet accessories. And I said, these are the people that I want to see what's in the garbage as they come in, because I want them to know very clearly what kind of a store they're coming into. So the next morning when I had all of this in the dumpster, I had comments from a few of them.
What'd they say?
Well, they weren't very happy. They said, quite obviously, you're not in the pet accessory business anymore. And I said, you got that right.
And is that what you said? You got that right?
I most certainly did say that. I said, you got that right. And they said, where's all the dog food? And I said, I said, life is too short for me to be wasting space in my store with food for animals that is of a higher grade than a lot of the baby food we have. And I said to them, if I could get away with relabeling some of this and calling it baby food, I would.
You wouldn't really do that, would you?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, some of that food, as I said, is of a higher quality, has more nutrition and more vitamins in it than much of the really expensive baby food that we have. And it's cheaper, and it's better. So I said to them, I'm not going to go. I said, that is an abomination. And we had words, you know.
Well, Bob, you're a very outspoken guy, especially a guy that works with the public as much as you do. By getting rid of pet accessories such as the chew toys and the dog sweaters and all this stuff, and getting rid of all of this dog and cat food, you've alienated, obviously, a lot of people.
Well, no, I don't think so. People will just know we don't go into Fraser Foods, to go grocery shopping for dogs. And frankly, if that's the way they think, I'm grateful. I don't want people to think, oh, let's stop in at Fraser Foods and pick up a sweater for our cat. It's ridiculous, you know.
And no, I understand that. All right. We'll see if we'll get some comments from people on this. My own feeling is, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is, I for some reason, I'm troubled by this. I understand that you have a good point of view.
Well, what do you mean troubled?
Well, I understand that your intentions are good, but for some reason, I just think that getting rid of dog food and dog accessories and cat accessories because you, I don't know, you know.
We've got people that are starving to death out there, and I'm wasting my time and my patience on answering some old lady's question about a cat sweater. No way, not anymore. Maybe that was Bob Green a year ago, but not anymore.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. In the middle of a recession, economic downturn, is it proper to be selling dog and cat accessories, cat food, dog food, cat condominiums, dog sweaters, cat hats? Bob Green has eliminated all of the pet food and pet accessories from his store. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as we talk about these down economic times, tough, tough times. You know, Bobby, it was funny. I got gas today, and I was looking at the price of the gas I was getting, 87 octane, and it was right off the freeway in Westlake Village, California, and it was $3.71 a gallon. And I remember thinking, back in the 70s, when I was a young man, and we would hear about Europeans back then.
$3.50 a gallon.
Exactly. $3.50 a gallon, or whatever it was, 3 pounds, or about the same thing, though. And I remember thinking, how the hell can they afford that?
We had no idea how good we had it, Phil. And you're right. The Europeans were paying an enormous amount of money for gasoline, and we never thought that that would happen in the United States. Well, it's happened, and, just like I said, Phil, knock wood, that you and I are healthy, we're working. There's a lot of people that are not. And I'm selling pet toys. I remember when I got home that night and I was cooking and the kids were running around and it was a little hectic and I'm in my dress shirt. I got my sleeves rolled up. I'm trying to get some soup going. I'm cooking a stew. I got there trying to get the kids to sit down and shut up and, you know. And I got this empty pot in my hand that I'm about to put Lipton soup into. And I said to them, and I was telling the kids, boy, all this cat food and dog food we got. And my son goes, almost like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, Phil, you know.
Uh-huh.
I said, he says, well, have the poor people eat the dog food. And almost instinctively, I came across with my right hand like I was swinging to hit a baseball, except it was my son's head. And I hit him with a soup pot.
I hope the kid's okay.
He's fine. He's like his old man. He's got a head like a rock. And I did apologize to him, and I said, Richard, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying. And that, in a time like this, well, we've got so many people suffering, and you're coming on like Marie Antoinette. And, of course, he goes, who's Marie Antoinette? And he's all rubbing his head and crying. I said, I'll tell you who she was. You got a soup pot against the head? She doesn't have a head. And then he started to laugh because he thought I was kidding. I said, I'm not kidding. And then the littlest one, Mary, said, no, Richard, it's true, because she'd studied Marie Antoinette. And we started talking about guillotines, and believe it or not, that lightened the mood, if you can believe that, talking about beheading people. But
oh, man, what a family. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Bob is talking about getting rid of cat toys, getting rid of dog toys, getting rid of pet accessories because of the tough economic times that we're in, and you've got a lot of customers that are upset with you. Let's go to Jay. We got Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. And Jay, what is your comment? You're on with Bob Green. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Bob. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada, and I grew up in Fullerton, and I really never heard of Fraser Foods. Are you a newer store? Or?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I see, because I've been gone for like 20-30 years now. But my comment is, it's like any other product. If you go into the store, sometimes it's a convenience just to pick up pet products rather than go shopping there and then go to a pet store, let's say. It's like if you quit selling milk or something, people are going to have to go somewhere else to get their milk.
Sodium milk? What is that?
No, I said if people are at a store and they need a product for their pet rather than go to a pet store or whatever, they can get all their shopping done at one store. So if you could sell.
Well, no, I know what the thinking is behind having. I understand that. I've been in retail for a lot of years. I'm saying that I don't carry that anymore because I don't want to sell products to people so their pets are comfortable while we have, uncomfortable human beings out there.
Well, what about people?
I would rather a pet. Let me put it this way. I'd rather a dog die of starvation than a human.
Boy, that's a stark choice. Do we?
What about people that don't have children but they have pets and they have disposable income? Their children are like.
I think what they should do with that income is give it to the needy, give it to a poor, one of these food banks or something, give it over to the whoever you can think of in terms of assisting people, and your dog and your cat. You have disposable income, and the thing you're going to do is buy a cat condo. Wow.
Well, my mom used to tithe 10% for charity and for people and things like that with her church, but she
I can't take that.
What do you mean you can't take it?
It's the more this guy talks, the more angry I get thinking about some of these people.
Well, what about his mother? She's giving this to a church.
Don't ask me anything else about his mother. I don't want to.
All right.
I'm sorry, I don't want to insult you, Jay, but I can't stand hearing it.
Well, anyway,
she gives 10% to a church. Why doesn't she give 10% to a cat? It's the same thing.
No, giving 10% to a church is giving 10% to humans.
No, to a church, you said, not to an organization. You said a church?
Yes, that's what he said.
You might as well give it to a cat.
She has a dog.
You might as well give it to a cat. You might as well give it to a cat, not a dog, a cat.
All right. Thanks for your call anyway, Jay. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That guy sounded like he was... That gentleman sounded like the very person I'm talking about, a guy that needs a hot meal and a bed to sleep in rather than standing all night under a freeway overpass calling talk shows.
And that's not what... How do you know he's doing that?
Because I just... Believe me.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go down to another phone call here. Glenn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Just
fine.
Driving towards California,
yes,
now,
sir.
On my, and I just couldn't help but notice talking about, you know, take away pet toys or whatever like that. And having served my country for 23 years and 3 tours in Iraq, one thing I'm proud of is the freedom. And regardless of what the recession is or our country is, you know, people have a right to buy whatever they feel like they want to buy. And by someone not putting it in their store, they're gonna go to another store. But still, what gives you the right to deny somebody what they've earned their money for and decided that they want to spend their money for?
Well, look, let me put it this way, sir. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. Did you go to Iraq to die for your country or to die for someone's poodle? I think you'd say you didn't go to die, but you would give your life for your country, not for a kennel filled with poodles. And I would not ask that of you. And I wouldn't ask that of any soldier. I want our soldiers to come home safe, having killed the enemy to protect America, not some old lady's poodle. And that's the thing that made me angry. That I know good young men like you are over there, and we've got poor people that can't eat, you know, we got tough economic times in America. We've had them before, but the thought that some poodle is going to sit there in a sweater and sleep in a bed.
Liberty.
Okay, hold on. I tell you what you do for me. Glenn, you hang on the line, Glenn. I'm going to be right back with you. So don't worry. We're not going to lose your call. And we'll be back with Robert Green. We have to break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't go anywhere.
Wait a minute. I was saying the old lady's
poodle. Phil Hendry.
Come on.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now that's interesting. You got to tell the story. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. As he talks about taking a very bold step in his store, and that is getting rid of all the pet accessories and pet food, because for Bob, carrying those kinds of things in the middle of down economic times doesn't make any sense. It's almost an insult to humans. And has run the risk of losing the favor and the patronage of his pet-owning people. This is an interesting comment you made. When you hit your son with that pot, you say that there had been an ongoing feud?
Phil, no, I wouldn't call it an ongoing feud. What happened was the week before, we have a boat. I've got a small inboard runabout. I got an Evinrude, a couple of Evinrudes on the back, and I take the kids out sometimes, and we go bonita fishing and this kind of thing. And we went out with a friend of my son, Richard's, and this boy had never been out on the ocean before. He had he originally came to California with his family from Denver. So they were landlocked people, and I decided to have some fun with the kid, and I was skipping some waves, and you know, the boy started to cry, and I was very sorry. I didn't mean to upset him, but my son ever since then had been sort of breaking my you-know-whats until finally it escalated to the point where, you know, we had to get some bad blood out, and I went ahead and went at him with a soup pot after he, you know, came at me. So
you say that your son came at you when he said, feed the poor the dog food.
Oh, that was definitely, yeah. He was trying to be a smartass. There's no question about it. But I shouldn't have hit him with the pot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And
well, what do you think about the kid?
I think it's cruel if it's a child to scare that kid.
Okay, that surprises me.
Why would that surprise you? How old was the boy?
About 11. But I wasn't going to capsize the boat.
You know, people that have never been out on the ocean before in a craft of any kind, it's like people that have never flown before. It's a little scary for them. It's scary, you know.
What does that mean, scary? You mean, what are they telling me that they can't swim?
It doesn't matter if you can swim or not, man. Being in all of that water is frightening. It's frightening. I know I'm a damn good swimmer, and I've been out in the ocean many times, and it's still a little daunting for me to think about capsizing a boat out there. So you asked me my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm going to get back to our caller, Glenn. Glenn, I'm sorry we had to interrupt you, but you go right ahead, sir, with your comment.
Okay, thanks, sir. I appreciate it. Just like I said,
yes, sir.
I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if that means that somebody needs to go buy a shirt for their cat or a dog or a toy, regardless of the situation our country is in, they have the right to do so. And if we stopped at where would it end? What else would we cut out? What else would we stop? We don't live in Russia. That's all I have to say.
Well, you're right, sir. And I would say again that I, you know, I'm not asking for a federal law to eliminate the sale of these things. But I am saying that as retailers, as merchants, which is what I am, and I have my business, thanks in part to the great work of yourself and your comrades in the armed forces, I got to do something that's right for America. I got to do something that's right by you guys, and that's right for my country. And what I'm doing to be a patriot is, I frankly could care if every dog in America starved slowly.
Boy, that almost sounds un-American.
What are you talking about?
You want dog? People love dogs.
I can't hear you, Phil. There's something wrong with the phone. It's going like that.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said it's almost un-American.
What is?
Wanting dogs to starve slowly?
Ask the soldier. He's a soldier. He was in Iraq. Is Glenn there? Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Green. I'm Bob Green. Wouldn't you agree that probably you wouldn't want dogs to starve, but you know what I mean.
No, I mean, dogs are, you know, if you look, as we were in Iraq, many times we'd pick up stray dogs and use them as mascots because it helped the morale of the soldiers, you know, when you're out there and literally hell on earth, you know, where it's 140 degrees in the summertime and, you know, in the teens in the wintertime, you know, you need something to boost your morale and dogs or cats, you know, per se, help fill that void of, you know, being a human.
Well, I mean, but when you guys came home, what'd you do with the dog? Did you?
Sometimes
eat it.
But some units
eat it.
They'd request you to bring them back to the States, and some of them have. Other times, we just pass them on to the other units that were coming in to fill us, and they would just take over from there and, you know, care and feed the animal.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. I don't know if a lot of Americans know that. That's awesome.
Okay. If you guys say it's awesome, but here's a dog that's taking rations out of the mouth of a soldier. You know.
Oh, come on. The soldiers want to do it. Do you understand, Bob? They don't mind feeding
it's
that animal.
Health and welfare. It's a mental. When you're going through a lot of things, you know, in a combat zone, that little comfort of, you know, that animal there, it does
right.
help a lot. We use it a
exactly.
lot. Exactly. We use dogs in snipping out bombs and other stuff, things that helped us in our missions over there anyway.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you have some kind of dog food? What do you guys have for dog food?
Yeah,
we
buy dog food, or we give them some of our MREs.
You guys buy dog food? See, that's what I'm saying. This is taxpayer dollars, and they're shipping dog food. So Alpo has got themselves in. Well, that's great. Must be nice to be Alpo.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, we're talking about soldiers now. Listen, Glenn, thanks very much, and thank you for your service to our country. Appreciate it, man. Have a good evening. 877-876 Phil.
You know, Phil, he's a soldier, you're not. So when you're saying, hey, thanks, man, don't get too buddy-buddy. I mean,
hey, you know something, Bob? The more you talk,
the less you like it?
Exactly, exactly. For a minute there, I'm thinking, well, you know, I can understand his attitude about dog food and this and that. Now you're bitching at some soldier because they're feeding a stray dog. Can you imagine being a stray dog in Iraq?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't believe they've got strays. You figure with all of the roadside bombs and the mortars, you know, the dog population.
All right, I understand what you're saying. Are you trying to be funny?
Phil, do you think it's funny, dead dogs?
You do?
No, I don't. I said it's necessary. How dare you think I think it's funny?
877-876-PHIL.
I'm going to say it again. How dare you think I think it's funny?
Well, you're making some very inappropriate comments, I think. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Okay, now you said you got away with all your dog food, cat food, all the accessories for animals, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct, yes.
Okay, I don't blame you to a certain point.
Thank you.
If you want, you know, if somebody wants to sell cat food and dog food, it should be picked up from a pet store. They sell nothing but pet food and pet supplies.
But in the middle of a recession and with that soldier talking, you know, we got guys in Iraq, you're telling me you want to have pet stores? I don't understand the need for these. That's the point that I'm making.
Number one, if somebody wants to have a pet, if they can afford a pet and they can afford their kids and take care of both at the same time, there ain't a problem with that.
Except for one thing. Except for one thing. The pet store that sells the pet sweaters and binoculars and any other asinine thing, that's taking up space that we could put a 7-Eleven in, or, well, okay.
Oh, a 7-Eleven. We need more of those, that's for sure. A 7-Eleven.
Well, I'm okay. You know what I mean, though.
No, I tell you what, how about another Starbucks?
You know something, Phil? You can make all the smart-ass comments you want, but the fact is, we need another store, so we've got a big fat supply of pet food, so that when a homeless guy walks by, he can feel real good about life.
Well, if a homeless guy walks by, and he feels bad about life, then he should be going down to a homeless shelter, and somebody should be donating food to those homeless shelters to help.
Aha! Uh-huh. Right there. Okay, you just stepped in it. Right there, you stepped in it. So the homeless guy goes down to some sewer to eat, and the cat gets to live in a condo. That's what you just said. That's what you just said. And that's what I find to be un-American.
No, the guy didn't say go down to a sewer.
Well, that's what a cat's doing. The cat's sleeping on a bed, wearing clothes, and eating food. I mean, that's what a human is supposed to do, not a cat.
The point that the man's making is
the gentleman,
and I know that you did when you called in, Joe, and I can almost see your point, Bob, as well. But the fact is, you're saying because we've got a bad economic situation in the country that we might as well just kill all of our pets.
No, I didn't say that.
You will. What was this thing about slow starvation of dogs?
I said I'd rather see all the dogs starve slowly than have one human being die. That's how much I value human life.
Okay, well, value your life. Okay, fine. But
that's ridiculous.
Your animals.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. 877. You're right, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, you really blew that. You're right, sir. Yeah, get out of here. I mean, Phil, I'm trying to talk to these people.
I don't think I said get out of here. I am trying to move on to another call.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, that gentleman was on my side, and I think you should have given me a little bit of an opportunity to sort of to revel in that moment that there's a guy that agrees with me, and the two of us can tell you where to stick it, if you'll pardon my expression, because that's what you do with me. And
I don't tell you where to stick it, Bob. I'm just telling you that I am arguing with your point. You're right. And your point is that there shouldn't be any sale of dog, cat, and all this other stuff because of the tough economic...
Boy, you... You know what? Have you tried a dental dam or a...
Okay, you know something? Your smart-ass comments aside...
You were the one that made the smart-ass comment about Starbucks and all of that. That's what the record show you did that. I didn't do that. You did that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you that you can have the world you want, Phil, and not have cat sweaters. Cat sweaters. God almighty, will you listen to me? Cat sweaters?
I hear you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sophie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Sophie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that...
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert. That Robert would make a bigger and better statement if he sold the dog food and the cat food and the accessories and took that money and donated it to the poor. And my second point is that, Robert, do you love your children?
Of course I do. I love them a lot more than getting a cat a sweater.
Well, you know, you have a job to do. You have a business to take care of. That business puts food on your table. If you didn't do well in your business, because people are not going to come to your store with your attitude, then you're not going
to
have any money left.
Store.
You're not going
to
have
well,
any money left. you're not going to have any money left to feed your own children, and they'll starve to death slowly.
Not carrying pet accessories isn't going to break me. Not carrying pet accessories is something that makes a statement. It makes the political statement is the following thing. I wouldn't insult a homeless person by putting hats and shoes on a dog.
Well, what about selling the stuff and giving it to the poor?
No. Yeah, I think it's obscene. I think I would. I'm Catholic, and I would have to go to reconciliation.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
You think it's a mortal sin?
I think it would blacken my soul, yes. Blacken my soul.
Well, what you're telling me is, hold on for a minute, Sophie. Forgive me, Sophie, but...
No.
Because I'm Catholic, too. You're telling me that by selling these accessories, your soul would be blackened and you would go to hell.
If I were to die, yes.
Well, I think you're nuts now. I think you got something wrong with you.
Wow. Boy, that takes guts. You think that, Sophie?
I think he needs to go to a psychiatrist.
Aha. Here we go. Monkey see, monkey do. Mr. Henry says it, so now Sophie says it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you should apologize to Sophie for calling her a... God, man.
I didn't call her a monkey. I said monkey see, monkey do. It's a figure of speech.
And another thing, Robert, you always refer to old ladies with poodles. Now, what of that kind of statement you have? What do you have against the old people?
Ma'am, I don't have anything against them, but they are generally the ones that come into my store and ask me, "Where are the socks for my dog? Do you have a muffler for my cat? Do you have a robe for my dog?" These ridiculous things, and it's always some elderly woman holding a poodle like it's a newborn,
and this disturbs me. And this elderly woman probably has very few things in her life right now, and that little poodle brings so much joy to her, and you want to take that joy away? You're a kook.
No, I don't think I'm bringing it. If it gives her so much joy, why does she have to come to the store and buy a beanie for it? Understand that we are now carrying dog beanies? I never thought that I'd ever see that.
Dog beanies?
Yeah, you got it. And some of our Jewish, now get this, some of our Jewish customers, for a laugh, want us to carry dog yarmulkes. I said, I'm not going to do that. I think it's probably sacrilegious.
They must have been pulling your leg.
I don't know.
Listen, Sophie, thank you very much. Go ahead. One more question. Yeah, go ahead, Sophie.
Oh, I was going to say...
Am I going to talk to her all night, or do I get to talk to somebody else?
The lady wants to ask you another question.
I would think that Robert, if I was in his town, and I knew his attitude, I would picket his store. And I would make sure that no one went into his store and buy things for him and let him starve to death slowly. Goodbye.
All right. Okay. And then they would probably, I'd have to point out, there's that lady Sophie. She has a beanie for her cat. And then people would laugh at you and you wouldn't have friends.
Oh, no.
You notice she went, oh, no, and she hung up?
No, unfortunately, I had to cut her off. I apologize, Sophie.
Boy, you wouldn't apologize to me if you cut.
No, you're right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with our final segment with Robert Greene.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. If you want to watch us on Phil TV in HD, get a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and you can actually watch the show as we perform it each and every night. And those of you that are watching Phil TV in HD, there's our camera number one, and here comes camera number three. And, of course, our standard shot camera number two there. And that picture behind me, by the way, is of the, that's the Modern Family makeup crew. Those guys were in makeup tonight as we went over to Modern Family and shot a scene. We're with Robert Greene here on the Phil Henry Show. Time for a few more calls in this segment as we talk about Mr. Greene's decision. And this is a chain-wide decision to forego the sale of pet food, to forego the sale of pet accessories. He finds it... almost a sin an affront to human beings during a very difficult economic time to sell this kind of product while people are suffering. No more pet accessories, no more pet food. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Robert Green.
Yeah, Mr. Green, the pride of the thing I have is you openly admit you sell pet food with more nutrition than a lot of your baby food. Is that correct?
That is true of some of the canned foods have more nutritional value than some of the Gerber's baby food, yes.
Okay, yes. So at what point does that give you the audacity to smack your kid with a soup pot? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you can feed them more homeless, hungry people more nutritional animal food than they could buy in baby food, what would be the
wrong? Well, because I wouldn't insult a human being to feed them something that was created for a dog. I don't care if it is more nutritious. What I would do is I would go back to that company and I'd say, if you want to repackage this as food for human beings...
Well, what difference does it make?
It makes a big... So in other words, you and Mark here, you guys would open up a can of Sheba gourmet cat food and pour it out onto a plate for a human being. And what would you do then, laugh?
No, we wouldn't do that.
If I was hungry, I would eat it. That's what would happen.
I'll bet you would.
Before I starve. But now,
I bet you would.
Question.
What if I stood there laughing at you while you're eating it?
Well, that's fine too. I've been laughed at before. I got one more question for you.
Are you kidding me?
How many homeless people?
Any guy that feeds me cat food, I'll tell you what. That's the last cat food he serves. That'll be the last cat food he serves a cat.
Okay, we got you. Go ahead, Mark.
How many homeless people do you feed when you're out riding around with them twin Everettes?
What do you mean, how many homeless? I don't feed homeless people. I got a grocery store.
Yeah, well, I just want to know because, I mean, you know, that same feeling you get out of riding around on your little boat riding around on the ocean, some people get that same feeling out of their pets. So, I mean, you know, to each their own.
Well, I really? So, in other words, sir, boy. That you just said a whole lot there because the thrill
I
get out of, I know you did, because the thrill I get out of being on my powerboat, the people would have to have sex with their pets to get the same thrill.
Well, what is that? What does that
I
mean?
Know. I don't know.
Well, that's what this guy just said. That's what
you
said.
You weren't about.
No, he didn't
people.
Say that.
You weren't about. Said, yeah, you did. You can bet they're laughing at you out there riding around having sex on your boat. I ain't tell you that.
I'm not. You never had sex on a boat? You want to try it with a woman? What is he laughing? Is that hillbilly's laughing at me?
Well, you're talking about having sex with your boat.
I said you'd have to have sex with a cat.
Phil Hendry.
Get the hillbilly back, please.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In other words, what do we mean by that when we say we know what we're talking about? It means that when we say something, most of the time, we know why we said it. And when we say most of the time, that puts us about 25% higher than every other talk show because they only know what they're saying about 50% of the time. 50% of the time, they're completely lost, and they don't even know why they got out of bed that morning and why they showed up for work. So, good evening.
That's pretty accurate, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. That was Bud Dickman. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm my aunt sent over that fried chicken. And,
and you tell me I'm racist.
Wait a second. His aunt makes this fried chicken, Mavis. She makes that fried chicken with the peanut oil.
Yeah. What do you mean, racist?
You're talking about coming over with the chicken.
But just because somebody eats chicken and I ask that somebody make me chicken because it was offered doesn't make me a racist.
Yeah, what about his aunt making it? Ain't she racist?
How my aunt racist, man, because she made chicken?
Look at man, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of the stereotyping around here. I happen to like fried chicken. What's that make me?
You like watermelon?
You better believe I like watermelon. I love it. Love it.
I don't eat watermelon, man, only because if I did, this jackass here would start making jokes.
Well, it's not the most best thing to eat if you're black.
Hey, why don't you shut up, man? How'd we get on this? Chicken. Oh, because I asked Robert how he was doing, and you had to tell me how your aunt's doing.
Well, you asked. Well, you didn't ask me about her.
That's right. I didn't ask you about her. Anyway, welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com, so head on over there, get a backstage pass, and watch as we present our show each and every night here on Phil TV in HD. And we do that every night, and if you have that backstage pass, you can watch us performing the show. Now, the big story here, as I understand it, and this broke as I was making my way home tonight from my second and final workday on Modern Family.
Yay!
Thank you very much. And as I was making my way up that god-awful 405, which was just as packed as a can of sardines, I was looking at my godson, Joe. He was tweeting, because he's a huge Laker fan.
He's a big guy, too, isn't he?
My godson's really tall, because his dad's tall, you know. Anyway, he was tweeting about, man, he was all excited about something. What the hell is he excited about? The CP3. I don't know the Chris Paul's. I don't know his Twitter handle is CP3.
Yeah, it's CP3. It got another one, too. I forget what it is.
It's Chris Paul.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, in any event, I don't give a damn. But the point is, he was tweeting. He said, oh, he was just jazzing. He was excited. He was, oh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Blah, 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 blah. Chris Paul's being traded to the Lakers from the New Orleans Hornets. And then within about 20 minutes, I see this tweet. How will the NBA ever recover from this? This is despicable, just despicable. And well, what the hell is going on, man? I mean, I even sent him a message saying, now what happened, you know? Well, what happened was simply this. The Lakers had concluded what they thought was a deal to get Chris Paul, one of the outstanding players in the NBA, one of the all-star point, he was all-star point guard with the New Orleans Hornets. And one of the top drawing big-name stars in the NBA, and the L.A. Lakers had acquired him from the New Orleans Hornets, only to find out within the same half hour, or the same afternoon, I should say, that Commissioner David Stern nullified the trade.
Yeah, well I don't understand why he did that.
He did it simply because it was not in the best interest of the NBA. Now, I will tell you something. This is not the first time that this has happened in sports. Many people will remember the days of, I believe, Charlie Finley when he owned the Oakland A's. And Charlie Finley was trying to pull the trigger on some big player trade. I don't know whether he was going to get the players or he was going to send players probably to the New York Yankees, but it was going to be a collection of really good ball players from the Oakland A's. And remember, this is at a time in the mid-70s when the A's had just won two consecutive World Series titles. They were a powerhouse club, and they had names like Gene Tennis, and they had names like Reggie Jackson, and they had Blue Moon Odom, and they had Catfish Hunter, and they had some great ball players. At that time, Bowie Kuhn was the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and he said, no, 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 no. Mm-mm.
Why did he say it?
The very same thing that David Stern said. I don't know what words Commissioner Stern used, but it was essentially that this is not a good trade for the game. Now, we've just had a lockout. We've just had a lot of bad blood created between the league, the players, and the fans. We've just concluded the lockout with the promise that big market teams were not going to be getting the lion's share of talent anymore, and they were not going to be getting the lion's share of therefore dollars that the NBA was going to begin to even things out and spread the talent around, only to see this trade between the Lakers and the Hornets and the Houston Rockets figured in it consummated for one of the biggest stars in the game. Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, and here we go again, you know. And I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you want to do that?
I mean, I want to do it as much as my godson and my friends want to see the Lakers win it. Because I'm a Laker fan, folks, only because it's my hometown team. But I also, I don't want to see this kind of thing happening in sports where all you need is a whole lot of money and you can run a ball club like the New Orleans Hornets out of business. I don't think the New Orleans Hornets should exist.
Wow, why not?
I don't think there should be any club in any league so weak financially and with such little fan support that these leagues have to take over the operation of these teams until, you know, very rarely have I ever seen a league take over a team and see that team go on to success financially. One of the instances was the old New York Titans that were taken over by the American Football League, and they became the New York Jets. They were bought. But then you have to ask, you have to, you know, admit to something. Well, it's New York. I mean, if you, and it's professional football. You got to be able to make it in professional football in New York, especially at a time when pro football was taken off. You got to be some kind of a slob if you can't get a pro football team to be successful in the city of New York. All right. Now, and of course, we have the Dodgers. The Dodgers, in part, operations of the Los Angeles Dodgers taken over by the league. Well, there's no way on God's good green earth that a Los Angeles Dodger baseball team is not going to be successful in Los Angeles with the right owner. That's how lousy an owner Frank McCourt was. That's how bad that jackass was. I mean, it's one thing, you know, the O'Malley's get rid of the team. I understand. The economics didn't make sense. They're not the first family to divest themselves of a professional baseball team. The Carpenter family in Philadelphia did it. A great many others did it. We can't afford it anymore. We can't afford these salaries. You crazy? You're going to have to, you know, sell the team to a large company of some kind, a large corporation of some kind. So I get that. They went to Fox. Fox did whatever Fox did. I had no idea. You know, like Fox is really going to care. Like Fox is really going to, let's really put our thinking caps on and really become baseball guys. That wasn't going to happen. But then they turn around and they sell it to this clown. So while there have been instances where leagues have taken over teams, for the most part, when the league's got to take over a ball club, any kind of a club, any kind of a sports team, and it's in a market like New Orleans. Now, you may think New Orleans is a big city. New Orleans is a significantly large American city, no question. But it is not so large as it can support, apparently, all four major league sports, like, for instance, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, you know the towns. New Orleans has got a professional football team, the New Orleans Saints, that are beloved by everybody in the area, and they've flirted twice with NBA teams, the Jazz that went to Utah, and now the Hornets. And both times, New Orleans has pretty much said, no thanks. So why don't you guys in the NBA figure it out? And you know, I tell you right now, man, the expansion of that league to as many markets, just like hockey, is asinine. Just asinine. And now they got the problems that they got. So I don't blame Stern at all. The trade between the Lakers, the Hornets, and the Rockets had been consummated late Thursday afternoon, about the same time the league owners and players were completing their vote to ratify the new collective bargaining agreement, an agreement that David Stern had repeatedly said would help restore the NBA's competitive balance. League owners had watched last season as some of the game's biggest stars left for larger markets. LeBron James and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat. Carmelo Anthony forced the Denver Nuggets to trade him to the New York Knicks. The owners have pushed this, and Stern took it the rest of the way, a league source told Yahoo Sports. In the end, David didn't like that the players were dictating where they wanted to go, like Carmelo had, and he wasn't going to let Chris Paul dictate where he wanted to go. Before Stern intervened, the Lakers had reached an agreement to acquire Paul in a deal that would have cost them Pau Gasol, who played very, very well in the playoffs, Lamar Odom. League, I saw somebody say, hey, Lamar, no Kardashian's going to let you take her out of L.A., so forget it, Jack. Might as well divorce her now. She is not going to move to New Orleans. Under terms of the deal, the Lakers would have sent Gasol to the Rockets. The Hornets would have received Odom, Rockets guards Kevin Martin and Goran Dragic, and forward Luis Scola, league sources said. That's what the Hornets would have gotten that from the Rockets. How much time we got? All right, just one more paragraph here. Temps had informed two of the other finalists. This is the one of the agents. Demps had informed two of the other finalists for Paul on Thursday evening that he had a deal in place for Paul to go to the Lakers, front office sources said. All the players involved in the trade have now been told to report to their teams for the start of training camp on Friday. So you're staying with the Hornets there, Chris, and the rest of you jackasses are staying with whatever team you're with because the deal's off. Because the Stern said so. And these are the owners in the NBA who are looking at the Lakers, and they're looking at the Celtics, and they're looking at the Heat, and they're looking at the Knicks, and they're looking at all these teams that are always getting the you know, the good cheese, man. And they're saying, no, 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 a new day is dawning. Yeah, well, we'll see whether a new day is dawning or not. What you ought to do is take the New Orleans Hornets and stick them in the same garbage can where they should have stuck the Atlanta, whatever the hell they are, Thrashers, and the Phoenix Roadrunners, or whatever they're called. All right, we'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Is that a basketball team?
I don't know what that is. It's a bird, the Phoenix Roadrunner. 877-876-PHIL. It's the News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry
Show. Like a gay man.
Why don't you shut up about that, huh?
What are you talking about?
Everything's gay, gay, gay with you, man. Gay this, gay that.
Kid, you sounded gay.
I was doing some shtick during the commercial break. I was playing Canadian... well, I'll do it for you, okay?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
All right, I'll do it. I don't care.
Don't do it. You sound gay as a blade.
Will you shut up with the gay, 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 all this, okay? We're trying to move into the 21st century without some lunkhead like you. Anyway, I was doing some goofy shtick with an Andy Williams song, Canadian Sunset. Here it is. And I was playing like I was a, you know, one of those middle-of-the-road disc jockeys from my ute. And this is Andy Williams, and this is Johnny Magnus. There used to be a guy here in L.A., Johnny Magnus. I'm Johnny Magnus, your host for the most, and this is Andy Williams. And he talked like this, you know.
How come he talk like that?
Because that's the way those guys talked in those days, you know. You came. And anyway, and then I found out he was from Germany. Seriously, Johnny Magnus was born in Germany.
That's why he talked like a retard. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Every freaking day, man, with you, bud. See, you just took me out of the mood now.
I didn't mean to say it.
You're an idiot, man. How many times people got to tell you that?
Retard or gay. Maybe I think that's what you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL. It's our news and information hour. So there, we bummed you out about the Lakers or the Hornets or whatever the hell. Who cares? The Lakers will do whatever they're going to do, and the NBA will do what it's going to do. But, you know, the very interesting thing that, you know, and then I'll move on. Believe me, I will move on. I don't want to talk about this all night, but... Like every other business, it seems, there isn't any thinking when it comes to the future and what the business is going to be able to sustain. What kind of operating capital are they going to need to continue to operate at a certain level? And I don't know, you know, call me crazy, but, you know, in my business, I'll give an example, folks. I have to keep enough money in my corporate account so that if, for whatever reason, if our business, our website, for instance, excuse me, our radio show, for whatever reason, if we went south tomorrow, if we couldn't operate, if my business went out of business, I have to have as much money, I have to have enough money in my corporate accounts to pay my vendors, to pay everybody that I owe money to, including all of the subscribers on our website. Excuse me.
Here, have some of this.
Thank you, bud. It's the coffee that I bought. So I have to keep that, and that's a significant amount of money. Now, what a lot of these companies do is they do the following thing. They say, well, if we keep growing at this rate, we won't need to keep all that money. Let's go ahead and start using some of that money as capital, as operating capital. You know, maybe we'll use some of that money to pay salaries. You know, maybe we'll use some of that money. The next thing you know, they're on a shoestring because they've started to dip in what was a very healthy reserve that was designed to be there for one reason only, and that's to make sure that they remain solvent, that they pay their bills, that they pay the vendors and creditors, and that they are that they're a solvent entity. But these companies don't do that. they figure that they're going to be milking the they're going to be milking the milk and honey, and they're going to be you know, going to get the golden egg from the golden goose for weeks and months and years and decades to come. They just, it never occurs to them that business is going to go south. What is the story here? How many basketball teams does Charlotte need? I don't understand this. They lose the Hornets, they get the Bobcats. The New Orleans Jazz go to Utah. They get I don't understand how many teams. These are not, with all due respect, Charlotte is a great place, and they got there. It's a hell of a football market, I'll tell you that. They love those Panthers. But how many basketball teams do they need? What is the need that the NBA has? I understand that college basketball is very big in North Carolina. What's that got to do with pro basketball? Nothing. Now you take it over to the National Football League, which is generally much smarter than the other three sports in analyzing where they should be doing business and what it'll take to be a success in any individual market. The NFL is generally really good, much, much better than the other sports. They control their growth, and I have to say, and I don't know whether I just don't know where I stand on this. They sure have beat the crap out of their union, the players' union. You know, that for whatever reason, the NFL Players Union is just, it just doesn't, you know, they just don't have the pull the other unions have. You look at what the money that the National Football League makes is unfreaking believable, and you look at the players' deal, which is a good deal, but by God, by comparison to the other sports, it doesn't seem like it's as good a deal for those players as what the other players are getting in the other sports. So then you look at the markets they're in. Now, what is this story? Jacksonville's going to lose the Jaguars?
Yeah, I heard about the Jacksonville Jaguars was going to come to L.A., but now probably not.
Well, they're not going to lose them because that con dude bought them, you know?
Yeah, that guy, man, he's a Pakistan guy or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he came to America when he was 16, and he made his money in the auto body business. And he bought a company that he worked for at one time. It's a very, very interesting story. You talk about an American success story. This guy is it. He went to work while he was in college for a company, I think it's called Flex Fender or Flex Bumper, something like that.
What's that?
It's a company that deals with the repair of automobiles with bumpers, fenders. They've got some kind of an innovative product that they use, that they sell. So he went to work for these guys, and then 10 years later he buys the company and made a fortune, and now wants to buy the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, this guy is from Illinois. Speculation is the guy would move the ball club. They thought to Chicago, but the Bears have an iron hold on that market. They'd have to pay the Chicago Bears more money than God for territorial rights to Chicago.
I don't understand. What do you mean they got to pay? What does that mean?
If they want to play in the National Football League, it's like being an organized crime almost. It's not really, I shouldn't say that, but if they want to play in the National Football League and they want to play in Chicago, they got to deal with the Chicago Bears. The Bears own the territorial rights to Chicago. Ain't going to happen. That means they got to stay in Jacksonville or they got to go somewhere else, and that somewhere else ain't L.A. So we'll see. We'll be back here, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour, though. We usually don't take phone calls. We love you.
Phil, yeah, we'll take some phone calls later.
Maybe.
Maybe.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. From the El Pacifico each and every night, including Saturday night. We have our video cast on Saturday nights. And a reminder that this Sunday we return to Football Sunday with Phil, and we'll do the second game, the late game, bud.
Yeah, that means either the 4 o'clock game or the night game on NBC.
Right. And we'll do our, you know, which generally is just us hanging and commenting on the football game that's on. So it'll either be the late game, which out here on the Pacific Coast is the 1 o'clock game. Back east, it's 4 o'clock. So, you know, Mountain and Central time, you adjust for that. And or we will do the evening game. So Football Sunday returning on Sunday. And other notes, news to note, Bobby Dooley's blog is now a daily. It's the Daily Bobby. So check out the Daily Bobby at philhenryshow.com. Ted Bell has a new blog, which is chronicles his arrest at Occupy LA. It's called My Occupy LA Arrest by Me, Ted Bell. So check it out. One more note on the Chris Paul trade that was and then wasn't. The league was put in a tough situation with the Paul to Lakers trade. This is a comment, I believe, on what website is this? NBA.com. Oh, well, I'm sure this is really objective.
What do you mean?
Well, Robert, if you're going to pull me a story on this, do you have to get it from NBA.com?
That's the most authoritative one.
Yeah, but they're going to be...
Shut up, man. I'm not talking to you.
I don't have to tell him to shut up. He's just... What I'm saying is, it's biased.
Why?
It's the NBA. Anyway, let me just read it here. It had to be a first of professional sports team, a trade that everyone agreed was in the best interest of all involved except the owner of the New Orleans Hornets. What happens to be the league itself, which was in the terrible position of dictating the direction of a franchise that, as we see now, desperately needs to be sold. The New Orleans Hornets need to be dumped. The New Orleans Hornets need to be disbanded. The New Orleans Hornets need to go out of business. Do you understand? If you want to sell them and move them to another market, move them to a market where you've done your due diligence and research, and you know for a fact that you've got a professional basketball clientele, an audience, a market, a consumer, okay? I don't know what the NBA does when it does market research, but I'm telling you, they've dropped the ball twice, if you'll pardon the pun, in New Orleans. That's the second time now they've gone to New Orleans, and it's come up nothing but weeds, Jack. All right, so the other piece of news today that had me so pissed off, I thought I might start opening up on people myself. I'm sorry, I shouldn't put it that way, but a routine traffic stop at Virginia Tech turned violent Thursday, leaving a police officer and his assailant dead and the campus on lockdown, a scenario reminiscent of the 2007 massacre that claimed 33 lives and redefined how universities respond to emergencies. By the way, it always bothers me when I hear about a police officer being killed, when I hear about people being killed, and then the gunman is killed by either suicide or the police kill him. For whatever reason, it bothers me when they mention the death of that scumbag in the same line with everybody else. You know, 33 people are dead, including the gunman. Now, I understand that that's the way to report it, but that just jumped out at me and made me sick to my stomach when it said a routine traffic leaving a police officer and his assailant dead. Well, it leaves the police officer dead. It leaves the police officer dead. A routine traffic stop at Virginia Tech turned violent, leaving a police officer dead. His assailant got killed, too. What do you mean leaves? What is that supposed to be, leaving the assailant? Like the assailant was the passive, a passive recipient of this violence, like the police officer? No, I'm not at all. I'm tired of the way news is reported. I'm getting sick and tired. I'm tired of it, man. You know, it already's got me pissed off enough, and I'm getting sick and tired of having to read writers, journalists, whatever you want to call them, who don't even know what being a journalist is anymore. Everybody's writing editorials now. Everybody's writing an editorial now. Everybody's doing an opinion piece.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
What do I mean? I just think that that sentence, I think that is one of those de facto lazy reporter sentences. Yes, there was violence on the Virginia Tech campus, leaving a police officer and his assailant dead. Look at, when you say that an event happened leaving people dead, generally what you mean is those people were innocent recipients of some violence perpetrated by someone or something else. In this instance, the scumbag. This guy who attacked a police officer. The violence didn't leave this piece of garbage dead. This guy is the one that left the cop dead. The mayhem in Blacksburg began at 12:15 when a Virginia Tech patrol officer stopped a driver at the university's Coliseum parking lot. Someone, not the person who was pulled over, walked up to the officer and shot him. The shooter then ran. Virginia Tech police identified the slain officer as Derek W. Krause, age 39, a member of the force for 4 years. His body was found in a sprawling parking lot near the Virginia Tech stadium. The gunman and a weapon were found in another parking lot nearby. Law enforcement and government officials made that statement. Authorities say they think the gunman killed himself as police closed in. This is what I'm... What do you mean leaving him dead? This piece of garbage shot that cop, ran, and then shot himself. The police officer was left dead. He stops somebody, traffic violation. He's doing his job. He gets out. He walks up to the car. Someone walks up and murders him, commits cold-blooded murder. Left that police officer dead. Now that piece of crap runs to a parking garage and kills himself. And I'm sure in the days to come, we're going to find out his name, and we're going to find out what he ate for breakfast, and we're going to find out how many dumps he took a day, and we're going to find out... we're going to find out how many pets he had, and...
we'll probably find out what breakfast cereal he...
Yeah, don't... Probably want to sell more of it.
And we're exactly. Then we're going to find out about all of this stuff about the gunman. And then we're going to hear people say, what happened? How did we lose Joe Blow or whatever this scumbag's name is? What happened in his life? Where did he go wrong? You know, and then we're going to, we know where he went wrong. He's got wiring that's gone. He had an environment that was probably wrong. This guy went bad when he was six or when he bounced his head off of a parking garage floor. I mean, some of these guys are made when they get a head injury. We got a lot of information now, folks, on how these psychos are made. Got a lot of information. That's the good news. The bad news is, in the next 48 hours to 72 hours, we're going to have to find out all about this guy. And his parents will be interviewed. Like that. Like we're going to find out anything there. Remember that guy that shot Congresswoman Giffords and killed those people in Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, they went and they found the parents, and they interviewed the parents. And we found out the parents are a couple of pathetic turds, and they don't know anything. And they're, you know, they're just a couple of real pathetic, weird asses that live in some dump. And that was it, you know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just a couple of weirdos. The neighbors think they're creeps. They don't have any real contact with human beings. It's a real weird scene. Naturally, they got some kid that's a wreck. Now, what are you going to do? You can't arrest somebody for being strange. You can't arrest somebody for being antisocial. You know, and I don't mind antisocial people. Don't mind it at all. Don't mind it if somebody wants to be left alone. I think it's entirely understandable, to be perfectly honest with you, living in the world that we live in. It's entirely understandable if someone says, you know what, don't bother me, man. You know, I go to work, I come home, I watch TV. That's my life. You don't like it? That's tough. Stick it. That's how I live. I don't mind that at all. Guy's got a right to live that way. What I don't like is when people like that make kids, and then the kid goes out and does something. Now you're going to have to talk to somebody whether you like it or not. And I'm not saying those are the only parents that are irresponsible, but I'm just using that Laufner turd as an example. Oh, we're going to find out who the parents are. We're going to find out where he went to school. We must find out where he went to school. Where did he go to high school? Let's interview the junior high teachers. Let's interview the kindergarten teacher. Interview anybody you can. His best friend, his girlfriend, his lack of girlfriends. Some of the art that he made when he was in junior high. Some of the spaceships and moon men that he drew for his mommy when he was in kindergarten. Let's check those out. Let's find out what kind of coffee he drank, how much booze. Was he a drug user? He must have been a drug user, if not. And let's just dig through all this stuff. And the average person, the average consumer of the news, doesn't understand any better than he did when the event happened, why it happened. See, we take it upon ourselves. We must take it upon ourselves to learn, because no one any longer, folks, is just going to lay it out there for us. It just doesn't exist. You know, there isn't a, you know, they can't say, here is how it all happened, starting A to Z. We have to figure it out ourselves. And with the reporting that we have these days, no, you're on your own, man. And frankly, you want to know something? I'm happy that it's like that. I'm glad. I'd rather be responsible for my own education when it comes to news, the events of the day, than have to rely on some bozo at the, you know, at the Daily Blab or the Tucson Bugle or whatever the hell they got. The episode provided the first real test of Virginia Tech's vaunted emergency response system, created after the mass shooting by a Sung Hui Cho, a disturbed English major from Fairfax County. That guy was the scum of the earth, wasn't he? Now, that guy, I don't remember whether he was actively psychotic. Was he hearing voices, or was he just a really warped guy, because this is a guy that didn't talk to anybody, you know.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Sung Fui clown, that guy.
Oh, that Virginia Tech guy.
Oh. Yeah. Now, that guy didn't talk to anybody. He didn't have relations with anybody. He didn't have... There's nothing, man. And yet, when you see the videotapes that he made, the cat's like this. You made me do this. You drove me to it.
Yeah, I remember that.
You, the way that you ignored me. And you know, you're like, what are you talking about, man? So in other words, nobody talked to you, and that means, A, you were driven to violence. B, it's all somebody else's fault. Which, of course, no, it wasn't. It was your fault, man. And all the little elves that are running around in your head.
Yeah, I remember that guy's all like, you made me do this. Now you will pay the price.
Shut up, man. You're making fun of a dead man.
I don't care. He's a dead scumbag.
Well, yes, you're right. So anyway, that was a brutal thing. Thursday's response, a barrage of text messages, emails, phone calls, classroom alerts, and audible sirens across the 30,000-student campus was nearly flawless, according to students, staff members, and public officials. The plan played a very significant role in protecting all the students and the faculty, and also to help facilitate a rapid and proper response by law enforcement officers, said Robert F. McDonnell, the governor of the state of Virginia. The first report of shots came at 12:36 minutes after the shooting, and advised of gunshots in the school's Coliseum parking lot in the southern section of campus devoted to athletics. It told the community, stay inside, secure doors. So, Virginia Tech now knows that their emergency response is a good system, and that's good. You know, and a police officer is dead. Complete, without any reason whatsoever. And the gunman went and blew his own brains. I mean, why these people don't just kill themselves without having to take somebody with them is part of the ego of these individuals. These are complete, well, they're not even narcissistic. They're psychopaths, which means there's not a conscience, man. They couldn't tell you what a conscience was, man, any better than they could tell you whether there's life on other planets. So let's go kill somebody. That's the big grandiose statement. Now I'm going to kill myself because all the way to the bitter end, I'm going to control. I control. You don't control anything. I just took a man's life, a cop, because he's a symbol of something I hate. And because I have no conscience, I can walk right up and kill him. And then you're not even going to get to capture me, and you can't try me, and you can't judge me, and you're not going to parade me like an animal. I'm going to control that too. Watch this. Bang. Kills himself. Now, here's one thing that you could do.
What?
So that these psychos, who kill people, they think that they're controlling it all the way to the bitter end, right?
Yeah.
And they think that they're going to kill themselves so they will not be paraded and put on display and made to look foolish at a trial.
Right.
Well, what you could do is take the picture of that guy's face after he blew his brains out and put that on the front page of the paper so that the next psycho that thinks about doing that realizes that his kisser's going to be on the front page of the paper with half of his face blown off. What do you think about that?
That man, they'll never let you do that, man. They ain't going to do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't allow that.
I know they wouldn't allow it, but that would be that would say to the psycho, guess what, man? You go right ahead, you kill a cop, you kill people, then you go take your own life thinking that you're going to control your image. Well, here's your image, man. Your kisser on the front page of the paper with your ugly-ass face blown off. Here's what he looks like. I don't know. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Sorry to lay all this bummer stuff on you. I mean, I had to get to it, you know.
It's a big story.
Right, all right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, closing out the show here this evening. We'll try to find some uplifting, some sort of fun news to do, you know.
Truth
we'll
is
right
our
back.
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Show.
Well, welcome back here, world famous Phil Henry Show. I found out the name of the guy, Robert and Bud. His name, and forgive me, folks, I was getting the man's name wrong. The guy that purchased the Jacksonville Jaguars is Shahid Khan.
Well, what's the name of that company?
The name of the company is Flexengate. Flexengate. And it is, my understanding, a company that deals in auto body repair. And it's a company that he went to work for as a young man, and then he eventually bought it. He's worth a lot of money. This man, Mr. Khan, he's, I believe I heard he's 61 or 62 years old. And let's see, what else? Oh, and he bought the Jaguars for $760 million. It's approaching, we're getting upwards of a, it's a lot of money, man. You know, let's face it. A lot of money. All right. NASA has hauled back loads of rocks and dust from the moon, but apparently hasn't kept good track of those samples. Here on Earth, the space agency has lost or misplaced more than 500 pieces of the lunar rocks and other space samples, according to NASA's Inspector General, making the case for better inventory controls. How about that, huh?
What is it, rocks?
It's moon rocks. Moon rocks. Rocks from the moon. So, potentially very, very valuable. Astronauts on the Apollo moon landings from the years 1969 to 1972 returned 842 pounds of lunar rock and soil to Earth. The space agency now loans samples along with meteorite and comet dust to about 377 researchers worldwide. The space agency now lists 517 moon rock samples as missing or stolen.
I think it's weird they keep track of that many.
What do you mean?
Well, how do they know how many rocks is gone? I mean, you going to count up all the rocks?
Yeah, I'll count the rocks and everything. Probably not the dirt. You say they got some dirt too, huh?
Yeah, well, Earth, it's called moon soil. Yeah, dirt, if you want. Moon dust. You guys didn't see. Did you see the moon landing? You probably didn't see the moon landing. When they landed on the moon, it's like dust. It's just like fine dust. It's almost like ash. However, the Inspector General audit, this is the NASA Inspector General audit, suggests much more is missing based on inquiries to a sample of 59 scholars. These are guys that were loaned moon rocks, comet dust, or meteorites. The audit found 19% could not locate all their samples. Well, you lousy.
Yeah, man, they'll sweat them down.
What do you mean?
Get them doctors in there and sweat them down.
Get the doctors in and sweat them. What are you going to do? Get some poor Caltech nerd in there? Okay, where is it?
Yeah, that'd be bitching.
Where is it, man? Come on. Well, I don't know. I just... Come on!
You hurt me. That'd be bad. I'd love to tell him, what'd you do with the rock? If you don't tell me, I'm going to kick you in the testicles.
Get out of here, will you?
Man, what are you going to do, man? Like the Gestapo?
Yeah.
I'm sure. If you don't tell me, I'm kicking you in the testicles. In any event... it isn't a new problem, according to NASA's Administrator Thomas Paine. He threatened waving heavy cudgels at researchers who lost samples in a 1970 congressional hearing. Huh? Anyway, the latest audit suggests, this was the NASA Administrator in 1970. He waved heavy cudgels at researchers who lost samples. I don't know. The latest audit suggests professors remain absent-minded with moon rocks. Records were inaccurate. Researchers could not account for all the samples loaned to them, and researchers held samples for extended periods without performing research.
Probably just got out, looked at, and played with it.
Yeah, I mean, what are you guys... Why are you giving them the rocks? Why? You must have rocks in your head. You must have moon rocks in your head.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, as well as Dan Northcraft and our good friend Fred Scotty. And don't forget, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, so head on over there for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. We've got, of course, the hoodies, and those are in stock right now. So head on over to our website and get the hoodies there at the Phil Hendry Show shop. We will see you guys tonight. Same time, same place. Enjoy it. Thank you. God bless. All that.
Phil Hendry.